The county's number one talk show, the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio.
Okay, you're welcome back to the programme. Good morning. If you are just tuning in, where have you been? We had an interesting first hour, but we'll move on with the second, and lots of your calls coming in here. No collision at the Polestar roundabout, just an absolute joke. Sat for nearly 40 minutes this morning, and my daughter's bus was late for college. Trying to get into Letterkenny this morning on the special needs school bus. 40 minutes delay, says another listener. Thank God I'm far away from the Polestar roundabout today, but I'm pretty sure the collision was caused by the confusion, inappropriate lights at the roundabout. Well, we've had more information that suggests that perhaps there was a breakdown briefly at around 9:15, but no collision. Came out of Letterkenny 10 minutes ago. There was no crash at that point and nothing moving inwards. Way out Manor Jewel Carriageway, backed way up Cullen Road and Lurkey Brack. This is not down to a collision. Another just through the Polestar, two cars with hazards on stopped at the exit towards Neil T. Blaney Road. Caller says there was a car broken down at the lights at the Polestar roundabout at 8:45 this morning, which is being confused as a collision. But the traffic is still congested and backed up to the Drumore exit on the Lifford Road. Also, Tell backs up the Lurgy Back Road. Caller is unsure if the car is still stuck or if Tell backs are as a result of the lights. Letterkenny traffic, our lights out, and the Polestar says another 20 minutes on Lurgy Brack. Greg, what's going on with the traffic? The queue is crazy coming in the dual carriageway, sitting 20 minutes, and the queue must be as far back as the halfway point of the dual carriageway. Another, traffic is an absolute disgrace in Letterkenny this morning. Another, dual carriageway this morning to Letterkenny, absolute joke. 45 minutes, nowhere near the lights. Will someone please try and sort this mess out? And on they go, lots of unhappy drivers this morning. Look, we are, I think everyone's been given plenty of time to see how things are working. We will get back in contact with the engineers and find out, have they been tweaked? Is this it? Is this the norm? Are there other things that we can expect to happen to improve the traffic? People need to know at this point. So we'll make those inquiries and find out if this is the new norm that we need to become accustomed to, or are they still tinkering with the lights? You would think 2-3 weeks on at this point that the sequencing would be optimised, but clearly, off the back of so many texts and calls on a Monday morning, it is not the case. A petrol station is charging €125 extra every time you fill your car, and the money goes back into your account after 24 hours. This has been going on for a month. Is it legal? Called, contacted the garage, and the person he was talking to hung up on them. He said they're trying to blame this on the banks, but the bank said it's nothing to do with them. We've had this before, and it's pre-approvement on a card, and often it is service stations whereby there is no attendant or shop, and you put your card in, and you fill up your tank, and then you're charged however much you charge. But we have had reports in the past, and we've talked about it in the past, where there is a hold of €125 put on someone's card, and it often doesn't go back until the next day. They're not overcharged, they get the money back, but it's pre-approving it. You know, if you do it with other company, it can be a 1 or 2 cent, but seemingly, when you use some of these stations, they lock off your card, the maximum your average person is likely to put into their car, although that's well and above that, but you know what I mean? So that seems to be the issue. It hasn't gone away. I thought it had. We had talked about it extensively. But if anyone else wants to get involved in that conversation, please let us know. Greg, there was an accident there this morning and the Gardaí were there. Then a car broke down, which added to the delays. Please have a little patience, says a listener. All right, more of your texts coming in here. Shocked with the delays in traffic in Letterkenny this morning, almost 10 a.m. and still not in work. What's going on? Why? Were you supposed to be in at 9? My God, that's bad. Hi, Greg. Traffic queue all the way back out the dual carriageway at 10 a.m. Traffic lights, great job. Well, that's not down to a collision or a breakdown if you're still out the dual carriageway at 10 a.m. Traffic in Letterkenny, unbelievable. Queued halfway out the dual carriageway. I'm part of the Donegal Motor Club. People complain about rally weekend. There's never been traffic as bad as now today. As a town councillor, emergency services can't get into town. Another, there's a collision on the Polestar, although we're having mixed views on that, and that was at 8:45. It's now 10. Hi, Greg. Just heard you chatting about the traffic in town. It has become a nightmare. They've the town destroyed with traffic lights. And it's a big deal, you know, for people looking to get in and out of work, in and out of hospital appointments. But also, of course, you know, we need to be able to get our emergency services in and out of Letterkenny as well. Listen, thanks for all of your calls coming in on that and so much more besides. We'll get to more of those as the morning progresses. But we're joined on the programme now by Magella O'Donnell. Good morning, Magella. Thanks so much for joining us. Great to speak to you.
Good morning, Greg. You too. How are you doing?
Keeping, Magella?
I'm very well.
Good.
Yeah, great.
Good,
thank God. Not a bother.
All right. And looking forward to the Letterkenny University Hospital Northwest Breast Cancer Charity Ball in aid of breast cancer research at Letterkenny University Hospital. It's on Friday, the 1st of December at the beautiful Silver Tassie. And of course, Magella, this is an event and a cause that you're more than happy to be involved in, I'm sure.
Absolutely, I am. It's been going on for quite a few years now, and it's a great event, I have to say. It's great fun. It's lots of interesting people. Ciara Doherty is going to be presenting it. Well, should I say she's the guest of honour. And, of course, Noel Cunningham, our wonderful Noel, will be the MC for the evening. You know, I would just kind of come on, really, to say to people, it's a fantastic way of supporting, you know, breast cancer in the Northwest, in our own region. It's specifically for Letterkenny General Hospital. It's a great evening. You don't have to buy a long dress to go. You know, you can go in your Sunday smarts or you can go all out. It's up to yourself. But it's a great event and it's a great way, as I said, of supporting local breast cancer fundraising, because we do an awful lot of research, or they do an awful lot of research in the hospital. And, you know, I would ask people to please, you know, consider going out and get a ticket. It's on Friday, the 1st of December. The tickets are €50. So that's, you know, a very reasonable price, considering you're getting your meal and everything, the entertainment, and money is going to the charity as well.
Yeah, just to recap that, it's a four-course meal and dancing then to the Red Alert Band and the DJ afterwards. So you're getting an awful lot for your €50, but also you can be comfortable in the knowledge that you're supporting these great causes. And research in any cancer, and particularly, well, not exclusively breast cancer, it's so important, Magella, isn't it, that we
absolutely
find ways to beat this awful disease?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, one in two of us, and, you know, people are, yeah, you know, neighbours, whatever, are getting diagnosed every second day. You know, it's so, so common. And, you know, I just think, you know, it's a lovely way of giving to charity. I mean, you could just give €50, but to actually, you know, that's what I always think of it as a donation, and what you're getting for your donation is a fantastic evening of entertainment and food and lots of great company. So, you know, that's a very fair exchange, I think, for €50. So I would encourage everybody, if they can, to go and get tickets. And it's in the Silver Tassie in Letterkenny, and has been, you know, for quite a few years now. So they've been fantastic supporters as well.
Yeah, and it is a beautiful setting as well. And it's a time to celebrate. And it's also a time to remember, Magella.
This is it. Absolutely. You hit the nail on the head, Greg. You know, For all those people this year that have maybe passed with cancer, for people that were diagnosed or whatever, it is a great way of remembering, celebrating, and as I said, looking forward and to more cancer, you know, what will I say?
Better saving outcomes, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. More cancer treatments, better treatments. I mean, even myself now, I'm 10 years, thank God, this year I was, you know, cancer-free, if you like. And even in that 10 years, the amount of research, the amount of, you know, forward work that has been done with new treatments is phenomenal, even in 10 years. And that's why we need to keep, you know, throwing money at this cancer, unfortunately, because one day we will beat it for sure. We just got to keep at it.
Yeah, we are making those inroads. And I understand the statistic that you used, because it's one that is really stark, that one in two of us will get cancer.
Unbelievable.
But we all get it, really, in a way. And I'm not doing anyone who's actually gone through it like yourself a disservice, and we never know what's ahead of us. But it is our partner or our mum or our dad or
Absolutely.
Our brother or sister. I mean, it is all of us that are affected. Now, obviously, those that get cancer themselves, they're affected in a different way. But this is a concern for all of us.
This is true. Absolutely. You know, the children, partners, parents, sisters, brothers, they're all affected by it. And it's sometimes even, what do I say, you know, harder for them, because there's nothing they can do.
Yes.
You know what I mean? All they can do is be there if they're needed, be there to support. But, you know, obviously when someone you love gets cancer, you want to do everything you can. You want to take it away from them.
Yeah.
But you just can't do that. All you have to do is be there to support them. So it is a difficult journey for them too, I have to say.
And that's why very often the person with the diagnosis ends up being the counsellor for everybody else, Majella, saying, I'll be okay, it's not that bad, we'll get through this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
It's just the nature of us as humans. Okay, listen, it's going to be a wonderful night of celebration, of remembrance for 50, and they've actually moved the date so it didn't clash with the toy show, which I thought was really quite nice. But it's just €50 per ticket. You get that beautiful four-course meal. You get to dress up as well as you like, or whatever, in whichever way you feel comfortable as well.
And we don't care.
Exactly.
Just come along.
Exactly. Band Red Alert playing.
You'll be all right.
Yeah, modesty has to be covered. That's the only.
Yes.
Okay. Listen, Majella, have a wonderful night. Of course, you mentioned MC in Noel and the special guest as well in Kira, which is fantastic.
Kira,
all right, Majella, thank you for your time.
Thank you, Greg.
Take care of yourself.
God bless.
Bye-bye. Lovely to talk to you.
Bye-bye.
As always, that's Majella O'Donnell there. Just to remind you, some tickets still available for the Northwest Breast Cancer Charity Ball. It's an aid of breast cancer research at Letterkenny University Hospital, Friday the 1st of December in the beautiful Silver Tassie Hotel. And because of the date, it's going to have a sense of a Christmas party as well, because I'm sure the DJ and the band will have a few festive treats for people to enjoy. So get along to that if you can. Right, some more of your comments here. Hi, Greg, from a Letterkenny business owner. Could you please address the dog fouling along our Letterkenny footpaths and entrances to businesses? It's worsening and is absolutely appalling. Where are the regulations or enforcement regarding this issue? It seems to be very bad this week, Main Street and Port Road. Are you a fellow business owner in Letterkenny or someone using the highways and byways of Letterkenny, most notably, it seems, the Main Street and Port Road? Are you seeing an increase in dog fouling? You would think we'd be getting better, wouldn't you? But of course, according to that testimony there, we're not. A caller says people talk about increases in costs. I bought a sandwich on Friday, €6.80. Mm. The same sandwich used to be €4. So what cost me €20 a week is now €34. Is it any wonder businesses are closing? Who can afford this size of an increase? Now, you can't shop around. €6.80 is a lot, but there are, I mean, you can get a lot for in some places for €5. In regards to the HSC and hospital appointments, they need to set up a website. All appointments, records and videos need to be accessible in the one place, even in years to come, so that people can access these things. The hospital campaign meeting in the Mount Errigal on the 30th is a great idea and a great opportunity for everyone in Donegal to row in and support the doctors, staff and patients to save our services and improve conditions for all. I'd not be able to speak publicly, but the opportunity to write down your story and experiences allows all voices to be listened to. There's nothing like working together for the common cause. Just a question here about prescription tablets with our local chemist. When I go back to get monthly supplies, I can have different brands of tablets, so I have to go back to change them for the right ones. Wondering, does anyone else find this is happening to them at the local pharmacy? I take a tablet, and sometimes I get one brand, and sometimes I get the other. It's all the same that's in them. You're getting probably a mixture of generic brands there. Some people worry about it. I don't, to be honest with you. I've absolute trust in the chemist. If they're replacing it with one tablet with another, I'm pretty confident it's the same product. But obviously, not everyone is the same. It does happen, I know, because I experience it myself. But any other listeners have an insight or a view on that, let us know on 086 60 25000. Just wondering if you could look into something. Just wanted to know if there's any truth to Ireland's debt. We owe about $250 billion, give or take, but Ireland have donated or loaned money to America over the years to about the same. I haven't heard of us loaning money to America, to be honest. We are writing down that debt to some extent. That was part formed part of the budget. Maybe are you confusing our contribution to... I'll look into it for sure. Maybe you're confusing our contribution into the EU. We did well out of the EU for many years, but now we are net contributors, and that amount that we contribute to the EU is increasing. Disappointed that the second consultant had to be removed and causing anxiety to patients at the hospital, waiting and cancellations. I don't know what's happening. It's hard to get information, I understand. Greg, it's shocking that a video is doing the rounds of people walking with children with suitcases in the early hours of this morning. Inishowen is one of the most dangerous areas in Donegal for road fatalities. Who thought it was okay to drop these people off like that? Now, there, as I say, there is a video doing the rounds. I'll see, for those of you who are watching here, if I can show you this video. I'll keep the volume down, but it does seem really quite dangerous. Now, I'm not sure who these people are or what they might be doing, but they are walking on both sides, as it turns out, of what appears to be a very narrow and dark road. It's not safe at all. I don't know what they're doing there, but they are carrying bags. And as I say, it is not no lights, no high-vis, and it does seem particularly dangerous. So I don't know precisely what's going on there, but there's children there as well, which is particularly worrying for me. The Business Post reported that under new migration and asylum pact, Ireland will be responsible for the largest portion of asylum seekers based on our GDP. We need a referendum now to get some leverage on negotiations. Well, we are opting into a lot of that stuff, by the way. You know, we choose to in certain cases. Good morning, Greg. Why don't we ever hear you or other media talking about the far left when we talk about people pushing the trans movement and immigration, for example? The people of Ireland are finally waking up and are now being labelled far right. This is pushed by our lefties government. Shows the contempt they have for normal citizens. Well, I find left and right is a little bit like a horseshoe in that they end up meeting in the end in the middle. I don't really subscribe to the left and right stuff. I don't talk about far-right stuff particularly or far-left stuff either. There's liberal, conservative. I don't know how you might describe it. I think when people talk about far-left and far-right, there's many people just tune out and go, well, what's that? I don't subscribe to an ideology. I just have my views. But as I say, and particularly you can see with people's stance on what's happening in the Middle East and Russia, that horseshoe tends to meet in the middle. Sounds like the employer wants people to work for nothing so we can make a profit. Is he aware of how much the cost of living has increased? Could he live on a minimum wage? That's in response to that article in the paper today from a business owner that cites difficult to get staff, but also the pressures of wage increases on employers. 4 a.m. this morning, 2 miles outside of Clonmany, men, women and children walking in the dark on unsafe roads. A few of you messaging in on that. It's clear the bus drivers are no longer going to enter towns because of demonstrations. OK, they seem to be implying that these might be emigrants. I don't know the ins and outs of it. I just look at it from a road safety perspective and it doesn't look safe at all. OK, you're very welcome back to the programme. We're in studio now with our head of sales, Sean Quinn. Sean, good to have you back in.
Good morning, Greg. How are you?
I'm good. Before we talk about what we're launching, a just quick update, if you don't mind, on the Home for Christmas initiative. The lines are still open for nominations for that. What's the response been like so far?
Incredible.
Really? Okay, good.
Incredible. I think there's nearly most of the countries in the world with... I hadn't realised there's so many people from Donegal living in different parts of the world.
We're everywhere.
We are everywhere, and we've had some brilliant entries. I don't know how we're going to pick it, mm-hmm. but we're going to have to do it. So the 1st of December is the closing date for that. If you're thinking about it, I would say act on it now. Do it as quick as you can.
So just to recap, because it is a great initiative in that it's bigger than Better Than Ever this year. We're inviting people from wherever they are in the world who can't get home to get in touch with us and tell us, you know, their story, why they want to come home, where they are, and that type of stuff. And we're also looking for people who are living here and who have loved ones away who can't get home, they can also. So you can nominate yourself to return home, or you can nominate other people to come home. And how do you do that? The easiest way is fill the form out on the website. Yeah. Is that in the outlet or separate?
It's actually on the front page of the website. Page, yeah. Okay, so yeah. If you go to highlandreadle.com, you'll see it there, home for Christmas. Very simple form to fill out. Give us as much details as you can, though, because obviously we want to. If there's a story, we want to hear about the story as well. Okay. So the more information you give, the better. We've had a few written.
So in other
letters.
Words, that means why they can't come home, perhaps, or how important it would be, or maybe it's how long since you've seen them, or all of that kind of as much information as you
absolutely.
You can.
Yeah, okay. Absolutely.
Right, and it's not complicated, but it's much simpler if you just go to the website and you'll see exactly who applies, how you apply, and all that type of stuff, because you can nominate yourself or someone can nominate you, and we need the contact details for both parties. But anyway, I just wanted to give that a mention in case you just happen to be maybe watching the live stream from somewhere, or listening online as well, or listening on the radio across the Northwest. Right. Now, separately, Highland Radio's Hospitality Awards 2024 take place in February. It's in association with MCM Brands, and this is a brand new initiative, Sean.
It is, and it's kind of off the back of our customer service awards. They were so successful that we looked and said, where else could we go and reward what people do on a daily basis? So the obvious one was the hospitality, because I think we're very good at that in this county. So what we've done is today we're launching an opportunity for let's say, our listeners to vote for their favourite, whether it be a hotel, whether it be restaurants, or it be the tourism attractions. I mean, go through in more detail into what we're doing with them. But if you go somewhere and you enjoy it and you think it's the best that you get from a service point of view, or it could be food, then here's a great opportunity now to vote for them.
And an opportunity for you to say thank you as well. And hospitality is so big in this country, because it's in this county particularly. It's a huge employer. It's a huge driver of our domestic and also our tourism economy. And sometimes I don't think it gets the support and credit it deserves. So this is a great opportunity to nominate your favourite hotel, your favourite restaurant, tourism and entertainment, bar and pub. And I can think in my head, you know, a short list in my own mind of in each of these categories. And it's a really simple way to say, you know, well, thank you, or well done, or you've a great member of bar staff, or you've a particularly nice overnight stay experience.
Yeah, and it's everybody strives to deliver the best service that they can and the best produce that they can. And I think that we do this well, but with something, you're 100% right, Greg. We don't always recognise. And I think we all use these little takeaways or restaurants, or we go into bars and we go in and we go again without saying, that was lovely, thank you very much. And so, you know, I think that it's good for business. It's good for the people to give an opportunity to actually reward the businesses, not just in monetary terms, but in recognition terms.
Yeah, okay, so let's run through the categories. And there are four categories, so it's really quite simple. Hotel.
Yeah, so what we have is we've got the Hotel of the Year. We have the Best Hotel Spa, Best Hotel Breakfast. I could name quite a few of those ones.
Are the subcategories, of course.
They are, yeah. So you've got the Best Family Hotel Wedding Coordinator of the Year, so it's individuals as well. And the Best Hotel Manager, Receptionist of the Year, the Best Hotel Bar, and Best Corporate Facilities within a Hotel, and also your Best Guest House, B&B / Airbnb, and then your Leisure Centre, because a lot of hotels have leisure centres. So,
what that gives an opportunity to, I mean, obviously, you know, people will stay within the county, but often you use services within a hotel. So it could be the leisure centre. It could be that engagement with the bar manager, because a lot of hotel bars are public bars as well. So in absolutely. Other words, you don't have to necessarily stay in a hotel. It can be your local hotel, but you just use it as your local entertainment venue, exercise venue, or spa venue, whatever it might be.
Absolutely. And it's I mean, there's so much choice there. That it'd be great to if there's one that you really enjoy and you go back and use on a regular basis, give them a vote today.
All right, now your best eatery now is the next one. You're calling it restaurant.
Well, it's there's a mix of actually both here, because the one that I'm looking forward to
eatery covers it.
Eatery, okay.
We'll call
it eatery for you, Greg.
I should be in these meetings.
The restaurant of the year. We've got the best dining. I'm just ignoring you.
Most do.
Best cafe. One that's going to be interesting is the best fish and chips.
Yeah, best takeaway.
Best takeaway. You've got the best burger, casual dining and family dining. So there's everything there encompassed into that.
It's all inclusive. And I'm not just saying this because I work here, but it is all inclusive because, you know, we don't often recognise what is the best takeaway or what is the best fish and chips. We often talk about, you know, in inverted commas, fine dining. But the majority of us, you know, the majority of us probably eat takeaways as well. So it's good that the restaurant category includes all, as always, best casual dining, best hotel restaurant, and on it goes. Tourism entertainment sector too. Again, this is a broad-ranging, all-encompassing category as well. Again, you do really well on this, Sean, I must say, because it goes from best St. Patrick's Day parade, best caravan camping glamping experience, best coffee shops, the best Santa experience as well, which is really quite timely at the moment, best family venue, tourism attraction of the year. In other words, if you want to recognise someone in tourism and entertainment, there's going to be a slot there for you to insert.
Absolutely. And there's the little tweaky ones as well. We even put a golf club in there as well because I think they provide a very good service, and we've got top class courses across the country, and it's not just about the course, it's about the experience afterwards when you go into the clubhouse, and they should be recognised for the service that they provide for us. I don't think we've left anything out there. I think there's great opportunity for a mix of businesses across our entertainments and our tourism.
And then finally, the bar and pub sector.
This is the one that this will go for all age groups. So you've got your best pub of the year. So it might be your local pub, but it could be a country pub. Who provides the best food? Who's got the best music venue, bar person of the year, best sports bar? They're very popular nowadays. And a traditional bar. And I can, at the top of my head, I can count to three or four that I know of lovely traditional bars. And then your off-license of the year, best pint of Guinness. Now, I couldn't judge that one because I don't drink Guinness. But I know of friends of mine that always say, that's as good a pint of Guinness as I ever tasted.
Is there a section for best bar with 18 screens showing a game of darts from 18 years ago? Why don't you switch the bloody tellies off?
We'll put that in the sports department.
Right, no, okay, I'm only messing. Right, okay, so it's right across the board. So we're inviting the public to say, you know what, spread a bit of love, thank one of your hotel, restaurant, tourism and entertainment, bar and pub. But also too, it's a good opportunity maybe for some of these venues to say, hey, over here, you know,
absolutely,
give us a bit of love. You know, there's no shame in that game. We talked about this with the last awards. You know, we're doing a job here. It'd be lovely to get a little bit of recognition.
And I would encourage it. And if you're working there and you're proud to work there, give your business a vote, because what will happen is those that are shortlisted will be in for an amazing night on the 4th of February. I guarantee it. If it's half as good as what we had for our customer service awards, this will be a night to remember in Jackson's Hotel.
Brilliant venue as well, Jackson's Hotel Bella Buffet, and great to see it being hosted around the county as well. All right, so there's plenty of time, but also there's not plenty of time because it's a busy time of year for everyone as well. Nominations close on Monday, the 13th of December, and the event itself takes place in February. So really, get your nominations in, put out your calls for nominations, get on it now in the run-up to Monday, the 13th of December, because there's a lot of work goes into picking the winners here, and we do it in a very transparent and thorough way, Sean, as was shown with the last set of awards.
Yeah, absolutely. So we'll have independent judges who, again, will do each section. And they will merit based on the comments that come in from the people, from the customers. But they'll also look and search the actual business as well and do some research on it. And they'll make their independent decision based on those. And as I said, those who are shortlisted will all be hopefully in the room on the 4th. I would also like to thank, we have four sponsors. We have our main sponsor, which is MCM Brands. Mm-hmm. You mentioned at the start there, Greg. Our categories, the whole hotel section is sponsored by Safetech. The restaurants is by Northwest Gas. Tourism and Entertainment is sponsored by iHeating and Cooling. And the bar and pub section is sponsored by Camille Thai. So to them, thank you. We couldn't do it without sponsorship. It's great to have that. Do you know what, Greg, in fairness, it wasn't a hard sell for us. Mm. I think on the back of what we've done before, people wanted to be involved with us.
Okay, so when can people, or how do people apply?
So they can apply from today, So after 12 o'clock today, everything will be up live on our website. The nomination forms will be there to fill out. They're very simple to do. You'll see it on our website in the front
page.
Not
yet, though. It's going to be after 12.
12 o'clock. Mm-hmm. 12 o'clock will be live from today. And they can download and they send it. It's just an entry. There's no printing out. You can fill it out online. It'll come straight into our system there. But you've only got until the 13th. It's quite a small window. Mm-hmm. So if it's in your head, do it today if you can, or do it over the next week. Because the last time, I think we had over 17,000 mm-hmm. nominations.
And will we have anything downloadable for businesses? Any templates that they can on?
You read my mind, because one thing that happened the last time is social media went mad. And I would encourage people to download. We have a Vote For Me poster that they can download. They can share onto their Facebook pages as well. Those that did that the last time did very, very well, because people reacted to it straight away and we could see it.
Yeah, exactly. But also, and this is not to contradict you, but if you look through the list of winners in our last set of awards, don't be discouraged if you don't have a huge social media following either, because the system is designed in such a way as well that it accounts for all of that. In other words, it's not necessarily a popularity contest. There's judges that will consider everything as well, because we saw businesses with huge social media followings
yeah.
and others that perhaps didn't have the same footprint, but they were all treated equally as equally as well. So don't be discouraged if you just don't have the same level of traction maybe as a competing business or what have you. That's okay. The judging system is such that it accounts for all businesses of all backgrounds and sizes.
And the simple thing is, if your customer's happy with the service and the food or the experience that they've had, ask them to vote for you.
Exactly. Say it with your face.
Don't be shy.
All right, then. Listen, Sean, thanks for that. You've got until the 13th of December. The webpage portal goes live from 12. Now, a number of Donegal motorists were put off the road after they failed to turn up in court to pay fines for parking in disabled parking bays. The drivers had received fixed penalty notices but failed to pay them. These cases come up at a special sitting of Letterkenny District Court this week. The drivers failed to show, and the judge in question, Kieran Liddy, hit the drivers with fines, costs, and also issued them with driving bans. Mary McGrenra is Service Coordinator at the Irish Wheelchair Association in Letterkenny. Thank you very much for joining us, Mary. I don't think any of us want to see people fined or put off the road, but if you insist on parking in these spaces and then don't take responsibility for your actions, well, then you can expect the full weight of the law. What do you think about this judge's actions?
I actually seen it yesterday, and, you know, like you, I don't want to see anyone put off the road. However, this is something, you know, that is highlighted on a regular basis. We all know that we shouldn't park in an accessible parking bay unless we have a valid parking disc, and therefore, you know, we should expect, as they say, the full wrath of the law. You know, sometimes I think is a lack of education, as in the people who seem to know about it are those of us who are in the sector. And, you know, you think if we did more on the education side, highlighted more, maybe more TV ads. And funny, I often think that's where we're missing. The visual has a great impact. You know, if you had a short ad on TV and see the visual impact of someone with a disability not being able to get into a parking bay because you or I are using it,
mm-hmm.
and the ramifications of it, it's not just getting into the parking bay. It could make the difference between, you know, getting your shopping done, getting a bill paid, getting to an important appointment. And accessible parking bays are not plentiful anyway. You know, it's not as if they're all over the place. So even for people, you know, we'd often say to people, okay, if somebody can leave you off, you know, let them leave you off in the bay and park somewhere else and leave the bay free for somebody who may need it even more than you. We do have a campaign every year locally called Back in Five, because one of the things that people will say, and, you know, maybe if we all looked very deep into ourselves, we may or may not have been guilty of it at some point, you know, oh, I was only there for a couple of minutes. I'll be back in a couple of minutes. But that's a couple of minutes that somebody else who needs that bay may come along and they don't get parked. And very often what you find is then these people get frustrated and they end up parking somewhere they shouldn't.
you know, like a double yellow line, and that causes another problem.
Yeah, but Mary, is it possible? So, listen, sometimes people will make a mistake, okay, and not realise, but I don't think that happens too often. Is it not the case that someone who is going to park in one of these spaces may also be inclined to throw a takeaway bag out the window of a car or to allow their dog to poo on a footpath? Mm-hmm. And the only way to get through to them, and I support you in getting as much information out there as possible, but sometimes the only way is to show that there is enforcement, to hit them in the pocket, to put them off the road, you know, because we do try a lot of everything else. And as I say, it's a tiny minority, I think, of the population, but maybe this is the only way to get through to them.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It may well be the only way. And it's an interesting one now to look at and see will it be replicated around the country. You know, other judges may take a lead from this. But, you know, it's frustrating that it has to come to this. And it's interesting, you know, that there were two at the one, you know, in the 1 week. And you think, right, OK, so how many more are at it, you know, that are not being got? It really is frustrating. And again, that's that of Kenny Town. You know, what about Buncrana, Donegal Town, all the other towns? That's just a small snapshot in time. And we certainly don't have any statistics, you know, for how big an issue it is. But we do know anecdotally, speaking to service users and other people we come into contact, it is a big issue.
I've spoke to people that simply have stopped going places because they do three or four laps, they can't get parked, they get frustrated to go home, and then they end up being isolated in their home because it's just not worth, and people parking too close so that people can't maybe unload a wheelchair. You know, there's lots of examples, and I think you hear from them, but you don't see them because they just simply, a lot of people go, I'm not taking that on today. And as you say, this is not an anti-electric anything. It's right across the region.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. And it's people, they just, you know, as you rightly say, is it the same person that throws a chip bag out of the window or whatever? Quite possibly it is. You know, quite possibly some people just don't care. You know, always I try to believe that somewhere everybody cares, but yeah. Possibly, they just don't care. You know, it's not affecting them. Their business is most important. You know, I need to get into the space. I need to do whatever A, B, or C, and no thought for the person who really needs to get into the space. And on the subject that you just raised there about people parking too close, you know, for somebody has to unload a wheelchair, whether it's out of the back of a vehicle or some vehicles actually unload to the side, but more often than not out of the back, that's a real issue. And, you know, again, it's one that I often think if parking bays were a bit bigger, it might actually help that, because unfortunately we don't seem to be able to rely on the public to keep their distance.
Yeah. And you know, like,
they'll
just
squeeze into the tightest space available.
But we as a public also, firstly, it could be us at any stage, but also have to think of the challenge that people may already be facing and then to be doing this. But anyway, look. These people have been hit heavy in the pocket and off the road for up to 6 months. So they won't do it again, I'd imagine. Mary, listen, thanks for helping us highlight it. You would hope to think so, exactly, and like to think so. All right, Mary, thank you. Mary McGranagher, a service coordinator at the Irish Wheelchair Association. What do you think? Do you think maybe it was too stern a punishment, or do you welcome it? Two people failed to appear in court, and they were charged hundreds of euro, banned from 3 months to 6 months for parking in a disabled bay.